and there is none more beautiful. Wow, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here this morning on this April 24th, year of our Lord, 2024. It is Rise Up. It is LFA TV, and I'm so, so incredibly grateful, as I am every morning, to be here with you guys, spreading the word, spreading the gospel, learning from the word of God. There's nothing better to do every morning than to do that with you folks. So thank you very much for being here again. I appreciate all of the love. I appreciate the rumbles. I appreciate the shares. But most importantly, I appreciate your willingness, in some cases, to get up out of bed at 6 in the morning right now, maybe even earlier in some countries, and you get up so that you can share in the gospel. I mean, is there anything greater than that? Is there anything more important than that? No. Your job isn't that important. Your family isn't that important. Nothing in the world is more important than the Word of God, which is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Kara Moore says, prayers needed. Contractor took off with $70,000 of our money to renovate our home. And while you could probably sue that person and maybe try to get that back, the chances of that happening are so low these days. I am so sorry. I am so sorry to hear that. I'll be praying that that person has a change of heart and brings that money back in full. I'm so sorry to hear that. There's a lot of bad people out there that are just looking to take advantage or take what everybody else has built their whole life and saved and scrimped. And that's exactly what these, you know, the illegal aliens are doing as well to this country. They are ransacking this country. And the world is full of evil, and I'm very sorry to hear that. I really am. Well, ladies and gentlemen, today's show might fit into a lot of your homes today. It might be exactly what you needed to hear. I had a completely different idea today, and I should know that if I try to, if I'm the one who tries to come up with the talking point or the message of Rise Up, it's never, ever what God ever has in store for you guys. And I should know that by now. And the few times that I have tried to put something together for you on my own, I've been overridden, and I was overridden again today. And that's okay. I am so happy to be overruled and overridden by a higher power that keeps me in check. And again, I had a whole different idea to do today's show on this Wednesday, and I got here this morning, and it just didn't feel right. The message didn't feel right. The timing didn't feel right. It felt out of place, even though it's a trending topic, and it just didn't feel right. So, about 25 minutes before the show, which is why you don't have a newsletter this morning, about 25 minutes before the show, everything changed to today's message, which is first refuge or last resort. And I believe that the reason why that message changed is twofold. One, it wasn't my message to begin with. It was God's message. And two, apparently everybody needs to hear this from God today and not what I was bringing. First, refuge or last resort. I'd like to say hello to a few people that are in here. I know Ashley Garland is really asking for prayers. I know those folks who lost $70,000 from a contractor are really asking for prayers, peace of mind. I see the t-shirt stuff, guys. I see the stuff with Will. Thank you very much. Michelle Curl, good morning. Jay Gizme, good morning. Water Cop, hello. Amanda Collins was up at 4-something this morning bringing Caden to his field trip. So I know she's been up drinking that Rise Up coffee. Jessica O'Brien, good to see you. Splendor Faith and Sophie Kittenhead, KC2020. Marfay 60, Patty is in the building. Good to see you this morning. Meemaw Becky, Twanity, Lord Fishy, Mustache, Dimples is here. Tanya is here. Good to see you. It's so great to see so many people live, lively and chatty as well early in the morning, because there's so many of you that find comfort in talking to each other, and so many of you reconnect outside of the show. It's just good to see everybody chatty and talking. Eileen, Miranda, good to see you. Sound off in the live chat. Lori, good to see you. Purple Snowflake is here. How are you? Jan Hunter, good morning. Kelmar, hello. How are you? Good to see you, and thank you. River Rat is here as well. I hope our friend Chris Lartz is here. Lartz, if you're here, sound off. Let us know that you're here. MDUSMC is in the building, as always. Bad Moon I have not seen yet, so hopefully Shane will be here soon. But what I want to do right now is I want to go to the Lord in prayer, folks, because, again, not my message. So when I, right before, as the intro was happening this morning, and as the music was playing, I was praying that God just guide me, as I do every morning. But when really, I this message is clearly what he wanted you to hear. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's thank him for this message. Let's be grateful in the fact that I listened to the Holy Spirit, because at the end of the show, I have a feeling we'll understand why we did today's show. So if you're wearing a hard hat, a helmet, some headphones, or a hat, let's take them off and let's go to the Lord in prayer, okay? All right. Lord and Heavenly Father, today is a very important day. And as we see the world burning in so many places, there are still so many good people in the world trying to bring the word of God, trying to bring the message of joy, peace, gratitude, and thanksgiving to the world. And we just are so thankful that we are among those people. To be among such great and wonderful warriors for the word of God is such a privilege that I never, ever, ever feel worthy of, but I'm so glad to be a part of it. When I can have intellectual conversations about the word with people who are also following Jesus and on a journey with him, such as myself, it's such a blessing. Even though I'm not really a person who likes to sit around and have small talk, but when it comes to the Lord, there's no such thing as small talk. It's all big talk, and I'm so grateful for that. So grateful that we can all come together every day and talk about our issues and admit our problems and commit to our promises to you, Lord, and recommit ourselves every day if need be. Come to you, come to the well for the energy and the stamina that we need as moms and as dads and as couples, as married couples. Lord, today we're going to be talking about first refuge or last resort. And so many people use you as a last resort instead of a first refuge. And maybe that is a lot of the problems today. So help us examine this. Help us navigate this word this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, what a good prayer. Bad Moon and his family dealing with some very rough times at the moment. Please pray for them as well, ladies and gentlemen, as we rise up our rise up. Okay. Let me get to today's topic and the description of today's show, and then we'll just deep dive right into scripture, okay? Episode number 342. I have friends, a lot of friends, that are not Christian. I have most of my friends are either atheist or agnostic. Now, those friends have dwindled over the years for a lot of reasons. One, because you just get older. Two, because you start having a family and your priorities change, so you're not out at the bar every night. And I think three, and to top it all off, once you have a journey with Jesus, you slowly do walk away from pretty much everybody you're associated with. However, most people I know, I would say, are atheist and agnostic. Most people that I know, not so much people that I hang out with every day. I'm just saying most people that I know that I consider associates or friends. And then, of course, I have my really close best friends, right? But most people that I know and most friends are not Christian. But when things really hit the fan, I can tell you for certain that every single one of them have and possibly continue to cry out to God. And my question is, why? Why do they do that? Is it a just-in-case moment? Or is it a, I know you've always been up there, and I know I've never wanted to speak to you because I've wanted to live in my own ways. I wanted to live in my own sin, not hold myself accountable, and just say, oh, well, hell can't be that bad. Now, whether it be to ask, why is this happening to me? Or whether it be to accuse him of something, you did this, even though I don't believe in you. Or whether it be to fully just say, please help me. I know you're there. I know I've never said anything really much to you, but please help me. They do cry out. And there is a reason why they do this. Today, we're going to talk about that. So please make sure that you are signed in and you can help me share the gospel, not gossip, to everybody around you. Now, River Rat said something that is a very famous saying, there are no atheists in a foxhole. That's exactly right. That's kind of what I'm alluding to here. There are no atheists in a foxhole. You do this because you are built to do this. You do this because you are built with God's laws and God's love written on your heart. You can reject him all you want, and he'll allow you to. You can live your own desires apart from God, and he'll allow you to. You want to know the kicker, though? He still loves you as much as he loves me, as much as he loved Jesus, loves Jesus, as much as he loved and loves Abraham and Moses, as much as he loves sinners. He loves us all. And it's all written right here. And we've talked about conscience before, right? The word conscience is a two-part word. Con means with, science means knowledge. So when they say, trust your conscience, they're talking about trust the knowledge that you have. That is why people cry out. That is also why so many prisoners find God in prison. And the reason why I put that in quotes is because a lot of them do just follow suit and say, this is my last resort, I might as well. But a lot of prisoners actually do find God in the joint. Why? I'll tell you why. And I've said it before, and I'm sure I'll say it again. Because Jesus lives at rock bottom. I just told somebody this in our local Cumberland Farms gas station here last weekend. Today's Wednesday, so it was Friday. Friday, I was in the gas station, and there's a guy in there that always works in there. QH Snap Eli looks like a new person that's in here. If you are new and I've never seen you before, welcome. We appreciate you being here. I'm just in the gas station, and I see this guy who works in there all the time, and he's always down, and he's talking about being down. And I was being super positive, and I was he was stacking waters. That's what he was doing. He was stacking all of the waters, and he was sitting there, And I said, hey, man, just remember this. Change the word. Oh, I said, what are you doing, man? He said, oh, I got to stack all these waters, and I got to fill that cooler. And I said, change the word got to the word get. And he said, what do you mean? And we've talked about this before, too. I say, don't say I got to stack these waters. Don't say I've got to stack these coolers or to refill these coolers. Say I get to stack these waters. I get to restock and refill these coolers. Because if you didn't get to, if you were handicapped and you couldn't move, if you were on disability and you were at home 24/7 wishing you could be out with the public, if you had some massive disease that made you immunocompromised so you couldn't be around the public and you were basically alone and depressed, imagine if you lived that. And he said, hey, look, I always try to see the things in the positive. And I said, well, remember this. Jesus lives at rock bottom. So when you have all the world coming down at you at one time, there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. But there's also somebody there that's going to meet you there. That's going to tell you, hey, there's nowhere else to go down, so let's go up together. And it was just this great moment that I had with this guy in the middle of the gas station. And he was not a believer. He is not a believer. But the minute that I said Jesus lives at rock bottom, and no matter what you're feeling, put a smile on your face because there's joy in the fact that you get to do this. You get to do this. Imagine if you didn't. Imagine if you didn't get to have this job. Imagine if you didn't get to stack this water. Imagine if you could not or didn't get to refill that cooler. And you could see this joy. He switched from and grumbling and sighing and moaning to a smile on his face within 60 seconds. I'm literally within a minute, right? Folks, if we can learn how to put Jesus as our first refuge, as the first place we go, I don't care if it's emotional. I don't care if it's spiritual. I don't care if it's physical. I don't care if it's emotional. I don't care if it's mental. No matter what it is, if you bring it to Jesus before anybody else, if God is your first refuge, if the Word is your first refuge, if the Holy Spirit in you of Jesus Christ is your first refuge and your first trust and your first phone call when stuff really hits the fan, you know what I mean here. Life is different. You see the good in all of the bad. You see the joy in all of the joyless. You see the happiness in all of the unhappiness. You see the cup half full and the cup half empty. Your perspective is automatically changed. When they say when you become a Christian and you accept Jesus into your heart and your heart changes because your heart has new desires, that is what I'm talking about. But too many people, instead of making God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit their first refuge, they make them the last resort. And that is the problem. So the people that make him the last resort, either never even know he's real, but they're just saying, just in case, or B, are always going to have problems all day, every day. All day, every day. This is happening. Now this is happening. Now this is happening. Now this is happening. Now this is happening. Do you want to know the difference between a believer and a non-believer as far as problems coming their way all day, every day? The only difference between the two? Perspective. Guess what? Problems happen to me all day, every day too. Problems definitely happened to Jesus all day, every day when he was out for 3 years ministering with nothing, no home, no money, no wealth. The only difference between a person who has the whole world coming down on them and they say, it's too much, why does it ever stop? And somebody who's constantly smiling and constantly full of joy, the only difference is Jesus. That's it. It's all perspective. So you can make him your first refuge or you can make him your last resort. If you make him your first refuge, I can tell you right now, your life will be filled with joy no matter what happens. Even if death is all around you, you'll find joy in that. If you make him your last resort, you will feel the death around you, even if nobody's dying. You'll feel the decay. You'll feel the non-trusting relationships. You'll feel the rudeness and the anger and the people that are mean. You'll judge literally everybody that you see. They're wrong, you're right all the time. You'll be filled with pride, anguish, angst, depression, stress. Now, there's a lot of people that will say, I'm Christian and I still feel that way. I'll tell you why. You want to know why? And I can tell you from experience, because I do it. It happens to me all the time. When I feel like that, it's because I'm not reading this. Simple. It's that simple. I don't want to sit up here and be like, this is how to lead a better life 101, and you must do this, and that. I'll tell you what. I'll make it real simple for you. You ready for this? If you have your nose in this book every day, just like you watch TV every day, just like you check your phone every day, just like you talk about people every day, just like you go to work every day, just like you put food in your mouth every day. If you do that same thing with this, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, there is no possible way on earth that if you do have your nose in this every day, and you do talk to God every day, and it's sincere and truthful and not for show, there's no possible way that you have a joyless life. It is impossible. If you dwell in God, then God dwells in you. And if God is in you, then there is always joy. If God be for you, nothing can stand against you. No weapon formed against you will prosper. That means weapons of depression, weapons of solitude, weapons of anger, weapons of non-trust, weapons of all of these things that you feel attack you all day long. It is no possible way if you are in this book. And if all those things are happening to you, then you are not in this book. You are not putting it as a first refuge. You're making it a last resort. There's no easier way to say it than that. And I'm not being condescending. I'm not being rude. I'm not saying my way is the only way. I'm not even a pastor, folks. I'm just telling you from personal experience and my own wisdom, if you're in this, you find joy in almost everything. And you don't let the arrows bother you. The arrows are going to come no matter what. As a matter of fact, the arrows are going to come more when you put your nose and your faith in Jesus. They're going to come more. You just don't feel them. They're like baby mosquito bites. The difference between a believer and a non-believer when it comes to worldly issues isn't everything comes down on me. You're just lucky that nothing's happening to you and you're saying that it's in the name of Jesus. You can call it whatever you want. Science is the process in repeating something over and over and over and over and over again to see what result you get. Why do you think Christians, real Christians, don't have horrible lives? That doesn't mean that bad things don't happen to them. That doesn't mean that they don't get cancer. That doesn't mean that they don't get in car accidents. That doesn't mean that they're not broke. That doesn't mean that they're not oppressed and people talk about them. No, because they do. They are. We are. But I remember saying this to my wife back before we decided to even look at having a journey with Jesus. Why don't we put our kids in church? When they become 18, we didn't even know if we believed in God or not at this time. I said, but I know one thing. Kids that go to church and families that have those values that are in the Bible, whether you believe in the God of that or not, the values in here are real. You follow these values, you get a pretty good household for the most part, right? And I remember saying to my wife, when you were a young kid, and I told you this before too, when you were in school, I said, did you know any Christian families? And she said, oh yeah, we did. I said, did you pick on them and make fun of them? Oh yeah, we did. They were homeschooled, blah, 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 blah. Yep, same in my school. But were they ever unhappy? Did they ever look sad? Did they ever look depressed? Were they ever judging people or fighting? Did you ever see them at bars? Did you ever see them get arrested? Did you ever hear about them throughout the town? Was there ever gossip around them? No. There wasn't. Why? You think that they walk around life with this shield of nothing can ever happen to me? See, the armor of God doesn't stop things from happening to you. That's not how the armor of God works, folks. It doesn't work that way. It's not like armor here. You're still going to be attacked. It's still going to hit you constantly. What the armor of God does, though, is allow you to absorb it, turn it to good, and expel that and repel that. The armor of God takes what is bad and turns it into good. I think there's even a song that says that. He takes what is bad and he turns it for good. And he turns it for good. That's what he does. He cleanses, he purifies all that is bad and makes it good. He doesn't just let it fall and drop. The arrows that the devil is shooting at you just don't hit you because you're wearing the armor of God and they fall and drop. You absorb that and you turn it to good. That's what God does. That's what we should do. Now, I want to read something for you. Well, what a day, huh? I want you guys all to open up your Bibles, since you didn't get a verse of the day today. I want you all to open your Bibles to Psalm 46:1. Can you do that for me? Psalm 46:1. Let's all go there together. Psalm 46:1. Ready? I'm going to read out of the complete Jewish Bible for this one, okay? Psalm 46:1. And it says this: God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. So why would you make him your last resort? Why would we do that? And for all those out there that feel like you're getting hammered on right now, maybe God is not your first refuge. And I'm not saying in life God isn't your first refuge. Maybe this month he wasn't. Maybe this week he wasn't. Maybe the last 6 months he wasn't. Maybe he was looked at as a last resort. Maybe you did get in a routine of, we got this, we're God-fearing people. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We don't need to keep reading. We don't need to go congregate. We don't need fellowship. We're good because we believe in God. Yeah, that's great. We all do. But are you making him your first refuge or your last resort? Because if any minute you think that you've got this and you only need to call on him when you really need him, let me break something down to you. You always need him. Every nanosecond of every minute of every hour of every day of every week of every year of every lifetime. There is no, I'm good for now. That's the devil. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. It doesn't say God is our last resort, does it? It says God is our strength. Now, I want to read a story for you, if I may. I love reading your comments, by the way. Folks, let's do another round of sharing. Let's see if we can get to 1,800 people. Can we do that? Lala says, I feel like a burden to God when I pray too often. Lala, can I tell you something? Let me tell you something. You are a burden to God if you don't pray as much as you possibly can. That's exactly what he wants from us. He wants constant praise. That's what we're going to be doing in heaven. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Blessed three persons. Oh, man, I'm getting goosebumps even thinking about it. He wants us to talk to him all the time. Let me read you a story. This isn't my story. I'm actually reading this story. On Thursday, my husband went to a one-day conference in Virginia, about 3 hours away. He hadn't been on the road, heading home long, when out of nowhere, he started chilling, started to sweat, and was nauseous. When he shared with me what was going on, I was concerned. The fact that it came on all of a sudden was alarming, and the thought of a possible heart attack went through my mind. He started praying, and I started praying. He kept driving. He had moments of chilling and more nausea and dizziness, but kept pushing through in order to make it home. When he got to the bridge in Charleston, he knew something was terribly wrong. He was growing weak and dizzy and actually saw a bright light. He cried out to the Lord because he thought he was dying. He asked God for help and asked God if he was passing from this life to take care of me and the kids. There had been no place to pull over on that bridge. He managed to cross the bridge and get to the side of the road. He flung his door open to alert passerby cars that he needed help. He put his seat back and went to call 911. But by the time that he did this, he couldn't lift his arms to reach for the phone. At some point, he sort of passed out. Nobody stopped to help him. He had an awareness that something was really wrong. He heard the cars passing by, and he was aware of where he was. Though nobody stopped to help, God was an ever-present help at that moment. God was there. God had heard his prayers that had started way before the moment of crisis. They started at the first sign of illness and distress. God had been escorting Tom home. Now, after some time had passed, maybe 10 minutes, he had some clarity, and even though he was very weak, he decided to drive home. Josh had been sick on Monday and Tuesday with a fever of some kind of virus, and we concluded Tom had acquired the same and that he probably suffered a fever-related seizure while driving, something he had a lot as a child. It was an emotional moment when he made it home. And when we think about what could have happened, I am so glad that when Tom desperately needed help, God was his first call. God was his first refuge, not his last resort. God was the one that he called to first. God was the first and only responder on the scene. Talk about a saying or a shirt that is. God is my first responder. God, first responder on the scene. He was there in times of Tom's troubles. Tom knew all that there was to know about God and had experienced God as his refuge many, many times. This is why he didn't hesitate to call on God first and foremost for help at the first sign of calamity. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Now, the first of the Ten Commandments: you shall not have any other gods before me. As believers, we understand that God is the one we worship. We are to make time to acknowledge him as Lord. What is that time? 15 minutes? Do you have 15 minutes today? That's my question. Do you have 15 minutes today? And if you say, I already do spend 15 minutes talking to God, do you have 15 more? Could you set your alarm clock 15 minutes prior to where it is now and get up by yourself and read just another 15 minutes? Could I? Yes, I could. Last night, my wife and I held hands. We're going, yeah, look, you guys know we're going through our own issues with our own kids. They're teenagers. They've done what they've done. They have not done anything since that we know of, but it put us through a lot of turmoil and a lot of PTSD, to be honest with you. We're moving. That's a stress. Trying to sell a home. Trying to get out of it what we think it's worth. That's a stress. Moving. Buying another home. If we sell this one, that's a stress. Adding another studio to another place that's 1,300 miles away, 1,200 miles away, whatever it is, that's a stress. Keeping this studio here, Eli staying here, me coming back here once a month, if I can afford to do that, that's a stress. Life is stressful. So last night, my wife and I held hands. Oh, and breaking up the family too, because some people want to go and some people don't. That's a stress and hurts. So last night we held hands and we prayed about 9 o'clock at night. And I said, let's start reading every night, you and me. And if we get the kids involved every day, that's great. But I want you and I to read the word every night. We wanted to do this many times. We tried to do this many times. We've just not stuck to it. We've not made God our refuge in this portion of our marriage, which we need to. And I opened up to my book at home is a love marriage Bible, a couple's Bible. And I opened it up, and for some reason my page finder was on Job. And I opened up to Job. And it was the moment that Job's friends came to him to try to comfort him because he was in so much pain. And he was like, God, I wish I'd never been born at all. I wish that you would have taken me when I came from my mother's womb. Remember that? And Job was just going off on all of these things that he's not a worthy person. He loves God. He never rejected God. He just said, I am unworthy. I am unclean. Why don't you just do away with me at this point? Who would have thought that that is the message that my wife and I needed to hear last night? I would not have said, hey, babe, let's open up to Job and let's hear about Job. Let's hear from Job today, since, you know, he lost everything and God blessed him so. So, yeah, God said, read this. Instantly, and I mean in a blink of an eye, as fast as Jesus is going to come back when he comes, which is why you need to be rapture ready, we felt peace. We felt joy. We were good. Truly is amazing when you put God as your refuge instead of your last resort, isn't it? I saved some videos for you. And I hope you like them. I did. And they're really nothing. They don't really refer to what we're talking about today. But I like to add in, you know, secondary and third, you know, two or three other messages into the main message, because we're dealing with a lot today in this world, and we have to know how to deal with a lot. We have to know how to deal with a lot. So I saved this video for you, and this woman is cooking, man. And I'm not meaning in the kitchen. This woman is cooking with her knowledge on talking about homosexuality as a Christian. Watch this.
Ain't homosexuality as a Christian. Should we shut our mouths?
No.
all Christians are obligated and justified in saying something about sexuality, just because first and foremost, we're ambassadors. Mm. That's a part of the Great Commission, is to teach people to obey all that God has commanded. I don't think we should feel like just because that's not my struggle, I get to opt out of the conversation, when really the fundamental struggle is a struggle against sin, and we all share that, right? Mm. And so there is a sense in which you do know what it's like to have an affection for something that you should not have an affection for. Mm-hmm. And you know what it's like to put that to death, and to put it to death again, and to put it to death again. Even if you're a straight man, you know what it's like to live in a society that says, why are you sleeping with one woman? That's silly. Having these cultural voices that try to lie to you. If we start to see that there is symmetry between the struggles, even in the distinctions, then maybe that would give us more courage to actually say something.
Explain homosexuality.
So the way that this woman explains it is, yeah, we should talk about it. We're ambassadors. It's an obligation. It is our job to do so. And she goes, and I get this argument from gay people all the time. You don't know what it's like to be gay. And she goes, I do. I do know what it's like to have a deep, deep desire and affection for something that I'm not supposed to have. And I do know what that's like to put that desire and that deep affection that I know that I'm not supposed to have, I do know what it's like to put it to bed over and over again. I do know what it's like to put it to death again and again, and put it to death again and again. Having homosexual, sexual, immoral thoughts and lifestyles is like any sin. It is giving into a desire of and to have an affection for something that you know is wrong, but you give in. So do I. So your homosexuality isn't worse than my anger. But we must identify that desire to do something, that fleshly affection, and we must put it to death over and over and over again. Not the person, the desire. I want to play this... Man, she hit the nail on that one, didn't she? She hit the nail on the head with that one. Smart woman. Smart woman. I saw this other video yesterday. So remember when we talked about the Word being Christ? The Word was God. The Word was with God. In the beginning, there was the Word. The Word is Jesus. We know that the Word of God is Jesus. We know this because in John, it says that the Word became flesh. And we know that the Word was there before anything was created. And that Word that became flesh could only mean Jesus, right? Well, I want you to see the man, the moment that this man realizes that when it is spoken of the Word in the Bible, that it is referring to Jesus. And this man starts crying. This is beautiful. Check this out.
Bear with us. Right. So in Genesis chapter 15, it says this. After these things, the Word... What word? The Word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not fear, Abram, I am a shield to you, your reward shall be very great. So the Word is seen by Abraham and speaks to Abraham. So the Word of the Lord is a person. The Word of the Lord in John is a person. So Jesus is that Word. You all right, bro? You're good? Yeah? Yeah? You got it? Thanks, Mr. God. Yes, absolutely.
See, that kid started crying when he realized that. See, that's the Word of God is like that. Now, here's the thing, folks. I can tell you, I can tell a person, a believer, a non-believer, all about God all I want. But it's when they open this and when they read the Word that is in these pages, it grips you. As long as you're opening it and doing it with an open heart and you're actually wanting to learn, it grips you and there's no turning back. Remember that book? Remember that movie, The Neverending Story? Remember, he had that book that came alive, and it was like all everything he was reading was actually happening, and he was so enthralled with it, he couldn't put it down. That is what the word does, folks. It really does. So why would we make it our last resort when we can make it our first refuge? And now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to play a few minutes of this, just a few minutes. This is Jesus revealed to a in Passover to Israelis, street interviews. I really like this kind of stuff, especially since we're completed Jews ourselves. So let's watch some of this, and then we'll bounce for the day, okay?
The New Testament. This is my last one.
Okay.
Right here, very interesting. I marked it. Mm-hmm. This is going to be where Jesus celebrates the Passover.
Oh, okay.
Would you be interested in reading something like this?
Sure.
Learn a little bit about Judaism in the New Testament. Can you imagine?
Okay. Do you recognize this picture?
Yeah.
Do you know what's going on in here? This painting by Leonardo da Vinci,
yeah,
one of the most famous paintings in the world, this is actually Jesus celebrating the Passover with his Jewish disciples.
That's right.
Really?
Were you aware of that?
No.
No.
This is actually the Passover.
Really?
Pesach. Yeah,
really?
They were celebrating the Pesach.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So Jesus is celebrating. No idea. The Jewish Jesus celebrating the Passover with his Jewish disciples.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah.
Sharing the bread
and
the cup. And so some people say, well, it's not Jewish to follow Jesus, Yeshua. But have you ever read the New Testament before?
I haven't read the New Testament. Yeah. I do think that Jesus is more Jewish than most of what Jewish people consider Jewish people to be.
Wow.
In my opinion.
Yeah, that's amazing.
In my opinion. He just says, be the best person you can be. And in my opinion, that's way more spiritual, connected to God than anything that spreads only one specific belief about one specific group.
Yeah, he said the highest commandment is to love others.
Yeah.
Without, to love God and love others.
Without any connection to where you come from or ethnicity.
That's right. That's right. He included everyone.
It's exactly.
Especially the worst of the society. So it's amazing. Have you never read the New Testament?
No.
Would you be interested in reading it?
Maybe.
And we have one in Hebrew, if you like.
Sure.
It's pretty odd. Do you speak Hebrew?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You Israeli?
And Israelike.
Wow, Madim.
Yeah.
Madim. You want to get one out of the bag? And you know, it's funny because we actually bookmarked today the book of Luke.
Okay.
Lucas.
Okay.
And in chapter 22, it actually talks about the Pesach. It talks about this picture.
Really interesting.
In there. And okay. It's actually the first time... the first time that the Pesach as a seder is mentioned in any Jewish literature is in the New Testament. Actually,
that's
it's in
crazy.
All the Gospels.
I will read it. I'll read it.
Right on, man. What's your name?
Roy.
Roy.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks, I'm Jeff.
What's your YouTube channel?
It's called So Be It. So the Jewish Jesus celebrating with his Jewish disciples the Jewish Passover.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Did you know that Jesus was Jewish?
Yes, of course.
You have some knowledge too.
Yeah, she's a religious.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So what do you think about Jesus? את יכולה להגיד בעברית ואני פשוט אתרגם.
כן?
כן, בטח.
אז רגע, אז תשאל אותי שוב את השאלה.
מה את חושבת על ישוע?
שהוא עשה טעויות, מספר טעויות.
אוקיי.
אבל בסוף הוא יכול להיות מה שהוא רוצה, בסוף הוא נשאר יהודי.
What kind of mistakes do you think that he made?
שהוא גנב את שם השם המפורש, נכנס לקודש הקודשים. טוב, הוא גם היה קצת מנודה מהחברה, הוא היה ממזר. אז הדברים האלה הובילו אותו לעשות בלפטות כבחירות נכונות.
ואיפה למדת את כל זה?
מהבית.
מהבית.
כן.
לא קראת את הברית החדשה כדי להראות מה כתוב שם?
לא.
מאוד יהודי, ספר מאוד יהודי, שבעצם ממשיך את התנ"ך בצורה מאוד חלקה. And do you know that it's actually a Jewish thing to follow Yeshua?
I don't think it is, actually.
No, why not?
Well, because there is only one God and you can't have two gods. I mean, Jesus is the Son of God, right?
Yes.
So you can't actually have some, you can't follow two, well, celestial beings, I guess.
Yeah.
And you only have to follow God according to the Jewish literature and to the Bible.
Yeah.
So the New Testament, I believe, is not something that Jews should follow.
Yeah, so did you know that the New Testament or Christianity doesn't teach about more than one God? It teaches only one God. They worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah, I know.
Only the one God, but who reveals himself in different forms.
Mm-hmm.
You see God showing up in different forms. Okay, Moses says if you see God, you'll die. Okay. But yet, Abraham sees God, Moses sees God, Jacob sees God, Gideon sees God, Manoah sees God,
Enoch
all these different Bible
God,
figures,
Adam
they see someone,
God.
And they wash his feet, they give him food to eat, they talk to him as God, and this person that's talking back to them in the flesh
it's
speaks
Jesus.
In the first person as God, not saying that he's Jesus, speaks in the first person as God, and does things and says things only God can say and do, only. We believe in the one God, only one God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that reveals himself in different ways to humanity for different purposes and different reasons, still one God. So for instance, you are mind, body, and soul, right? Three in one. If you take one away, you don't exist anymore. And you have to have each one of them together in one.
Get it.
Did you know that it's a...
Get it, ladies and gentlemen. That is what we are talking about. If you don't exist three in one, then you don't exist. And I think he said something really profound there. He said, I only worship one God, and that is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do you want to know something really amazing, folks? So does Islam and so does Judaism. We all worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All of us. Just everybody has a different way to get there, I guess. But Jesus does come and say, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. And out of all of those faiths, religions, Judaism, Islam, Christianity, Jesus is the only one to unequivocally say. And he's the only one that had thousands of people see him do what only God can do. And he's the only one that doesn't have a tomb because he has risen. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope today's show really nailed it for you. I know it did for me. I now know why we needed today's show. So I love you guys so very much. Enjoy the rest of your morning. Mike Crispy Unafraid is starting right now. And I'm going to leave you out with some good music as I always do. God bless you guys. I'll see you at 11 for 2 hours of Live from America. Have a good morning. See you later.